get snowbound. Seems like I've been here forever. Everything after a while just seems the same. So it's time to be up and going. I can feel there's a wind a-blowing. I'm ready to move, I'm ready to change. I'm ready to move on up to another dimension. And I'm ready to change and relocate to another location. There's nothing to hold me here no more. I'm already out the door. And I've got the Holy Ghost here to prove I'm ready to move. Everything that I need is in order. Ready now to cross the border to a brand. Riding fair. I hold a little revelation. This body's gonna see a translation. Moving up to a mansion in the air. I'm ready to move on up to another dimension. Everything that I need is in order. Ready now to cross the border to a brand new country riding fair. I hold a little revelation. This body's gonna see a translation. Moving up to my mansion in the air. Man, hallelujah. I'm ready to move on up to another dimension. I'm ready to change and relocate to another location. There's nothing to hold me here no more. I'm already out the door. And I've got the Holy Ghost here. I'm ready to move. I've got the Holy Ghost here. I'm ready to move. Well, I've got the Holy Ghost here.
I'm ready to move.
I'm ready to move. I'm ready to move.
Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Oh, washes whiter than snow, saints. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Father in heaven, how we love you. As your people declare your mighty works.
Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who has arisen to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus as the word of life is coming forth. How many are sitting on the edge of your seat? I just enjoyed the word of God last night. I cannot tell you. It's like I told you this afternoon. I'm a different man. I'm going to be a different hubby. I'm going to be a different pastor. I got so many tools, and we're going to get some more tonight. I just enjoyed that so much. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Thank you.
wonderful name of our Lord.
It's a great pleasure and privilege for me once again to be with you. And we thank God for His grace and we thank God for His mercy. And we thank God for the morning service. I thoroughly enjoyed the meeting. And we are certainly happy that we can share with you the word of life. And we want to be continuing on a subject on the royal robe of submission. I want to speak on the subject of submission tonight. And I will be continuing on with my same thought. I wonder if we can all stand. We turn to our Bibles for our scripture reading in the book of Colossians chapter 3. And we read from verse 18 to 23. Colossians chapter 3, and we read from verse 18 to 23. Colossians chapter 3, and we read from verse 18 to 23. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest ye be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Then Ephesians chapter 5, very familiar scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, and we read from verse 21. We want to be looking at that scripture tonight. Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, as even the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we deem this a grand privilege once again to be able to bow our hearts before you. We thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you for the songs of Zion that has been sung. We thank you for every saint of God that is here tonight. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know where we come from. You know our names. You know our genes. You know our traits. And Father, we just stand before you tonight and asking you, O God, that you will come and meet us and bless us in a very special way. Father God, we realize it's not our love for you, but it's your love for us. We never chose you, but you chose us. And we just want to pray tonight that you will come, Lord, and humble our hearts in your presence. And may you bless your bride tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. We're certainly happy tonight once again to be with you, and we thank God for His grace and we thank God for His mercy. And as Brother Jeff said, there is just a preview of what's going to be on the other side. I believe there's a fight going on between two dimensions right now. I believe the believers that has gone on, they long to be with us and we long to be with them. That dimension is not their home. The earth is the bride's inheritance. They want to be with us and we want to be with them. They in a faster dimension and we in a slower dimension. But I believe one day God will slow the speed and we'll bump into our loved ones. And we thank God tonight that we are here because of His grace and because of His love. And we thank God that He's expressed Himself from God to Christ and from Christ to an end time bride church. We find Brother Benham shows that out of Daniel's 70 weeks comes the church ages. Out of the church ages comes the seals. And out of the seals comes the bride. So we see there's a reflection all the time. We find the seven church ages is a feminine connotation. God dealing with the church in seven church ages. The seven seals is the male coming back to the body. The headstone coming back to the body is connecting with male and female. So we've seen that through the scriptures that there is a masculine and feminine connotation when it comes to Jesus Christ and his bride. And we find when God deals with the church ages, reflect seven cities. Cities reflect a woman. That's why we are the New Jerusalem, the mother from above. And a city outlives its inhabitants. That's why a woman can outlive a man. Because a city reflects woman. And so we see that there is a divine separation, and there was a divine bringing back together again. And we see redemption is to bring back the attributes that was in God. That's why you can only be redeemed if you are redeemable. And for you to be redeemable, a part of God has got to be in you. Because God is not coming for anything else. He's coming only for the part that was sealed inside of you. Brother Branham shows when Jesus Christ went to the woman at the well, he wasn't going after the body, but he was going for the part that was inside of her. It was eagle visiting eagle. It was attribute going to attribute. It was word going back to word. So we see there is a connection between Christ and the bride, and we see that the fullness of God has been poured out in this end time in a many-member church. Amen. And that's why if you know there's another body waiting for you, you can give this one freely to God. But if you know there's another one waiting for you, you can give this one back to God as your reasonable service. Amen. And so we know by the grace of God there's another body that's waiting for us. We believe the rapture has been set into motion by the end time Elijah. Everything is in motion right now, and we're waiting for that great catching away. But not to go away from our thought, we want to be looking at the woman's position. We want to look at the royal robe of submission. And we see that as we have recapped last night, that Adam was in Eden with all loneliness, with everything he had. He had dominion and power and authority. But yet inside of Adam, there was a vacuum of loneliness for somebody he could fellowship with. And we find that the Bible says that the woman was made for the man and not the man for the woman. Amen. We find Brother Benham says that God desires to fellowship with us more than we want to fellowship with God. So we see that God had a need, and that need was to express himself in a church. And we thank God tonight that God will never be lonely again. He has found the church. Amen. We would think that Adam would be completely happy being surrounded with a beautiful universe, and in creation being the God of the earth, God being present, having dominion and having power and authority, because Adam was an offspring of God. Adam rotated from God. And Adam stood on this earth as God's representation on the earth. And yet Adam, with everything he had, because he was the kind of God. He was God's kind. He was God's man of the hour. And like I said last night, Adam was prophet, priest, and king. But yet there was a vacuum in Adam that he needed for that divine fellowship. When God said multiply and replenish the earth, God was telling Adam to make more Adams, to produce more Adams of the same kind. Amen. We would think with all the authority, he would find full satisfaction. He manifests the book, yet with all that he had, he was lonely and he was unfulfilled and he was incomplete. Amen. Until the woman came on the scene. Amen. So we find the woman is the finishing touch of God's creation. And that's why Brother Branham says, besides salvation, if God can give a man anything best, it's a good woman. Amen. Amen. When God brought the woman to him, he felt complete. Adam wasn't burning in his desire. Adam wasn't looking for, like I said, he wasn't looking for a cook. He wasn't looking for somebody to iron his shirts. He wasn't looking for a sexual partner because there was no burning desire of sexual expression in Adam. But Adam was looking for somebody that he could fellowship with. Amen. Before it was good. Now when God brought the woman to Adam, Adam said, it is very good. Amen. He had God. He had his companion. As his companion, the woman and the creation, he was now totally complete and totally fulfilled. Amen. He had God. He had the woman as a companion and had the creation all around him. And Adam now was totally complete. Adam had fellowship and communion with God without having to come to repentance.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Adam was a superman. Faith for Adam wasn't supernatural. Faith was natural for Adam. To us, faith is supernatural, but for Adam, it was natural. Because he was a superman. Adam could walk upon the waters. Adam could speak the word. That's why when the second Adam, Jesus Christ, came, he came to manifest Adam's position. He came to demonstrate what Adam had. Amen. That's why Jesus Christ was the book. He came to manifest what Adam lost in the beginning. Amen. But when Jesus Christ came on the scene as the second Adam, God made sure that he sealed the bride in his body. And when he overcame in the wilderness, the bride overcame with him. Amen. When the woman was taken out of Adam, she roamed away from Adam. But we see that God, there was a divine separation and there was a divine bringing back together again. I want to maybe just repeat my thoughts that we see that we find that the woman was the mystery of Adam revealed. And Christ was the mystery of God revealed. And the bride is the mystery of Christ revealed. This is the revelation of the bride. This is the revelation when the bride finds her position of who she is in this great plan of redemption. Amen. Adam had no need to come to repentance or need of a savior. He was created without sin. Faith was natural to Adam. The only vacuum that he had was to have a companion like himself. She was the mystery of Adam revealed. Amen. That's why when you marry a woman, you choose her, you are a redeemer. You are redeeming back what belongs to you. Amen. That's why marriage is redemption. It's claiming back. That's why the first coming, he was our sin bearer. But at the end time, when he comes again, when he shall appear, he will be our salvation bringer. Amen. He's not coming back as a sin bearer, but he's coming back as salvation bringer. Amen. Yet the very person who filled the vacuum in Adam's emotions caused a spiritual vacuum in him and in all mankind. She was taken out for three reasons: for fellowship, she was removed for birth, and she was removed for deception. Under the masculine, there's no deception because Adam could not be deceived. But God needed the fallible part for deception for God to be the savior and healer. So God could not be a savior or healer without the woman. So woman is connected with redemption. Amen. That's why Brother Branham says on the day of Pentecost, God was dividing himself the same way he was dividing the woman from the man. Amen. The pillar of fire broke itself down. Amen. What was the breaking down of the pillar of fire was to produce a New Testament church. Was for God to come and fellowship with his church, God coming in man, but it was also for deception. That's why Paul, the husband of the age, was not on the upper room. Paul was the prophet. Paul was the husband of the age. Brother Branham said the pillar of fire is the full attribute of God. But God broke himself up on the day of Pentecost. And that's why that church was deceived. But that deception was to bring forth a church. But Paul, when he came, the pillar of fire came to meet Paul in the full attribute of himself. That's why Paul could not be deceived. And so when Paul came to the church already was a fallen woman. Amen. So in the seven church ages, it was the feminine connotation of God through seven church ages to breed forth a bride. But at the end time, Brother Branham says, the token comes as the entire Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The pillar of fire comes back at the end time as the full attributes of God, coming as the capstone, and comes now and take away deception. And for the first time, the church will not be deceived. Can we say praise the Lord? Before Adam could get to Eve, there was deception. Amen. Because Adam was going to get to Eve by the word of God. The channel for multiplication was the mouth. Amen. It wasn't the physical sexual organs of the male body, but it was going to be the mouth. Because the spoken word is the original seed. Amen. So at the end time, God raised up an end time Elijah, the voice of the seven angel. The seed came through the mouth. Amen. God absolutely would have cursed this generation, but thank God he sent Elijah before the curse. That's why William Branham became our blessing. Elijah is a blessing. Behold, before I send a curse, I'll send you a blessing. Amen. God used the vocal cords of a sex-born man to literally plant the seed of God in his bride to redeem and save the bride. Amen. That's why we are the epistles of Elijah. Amen. I have got no ministry. You've got no ministry. We are the fruits of end time Elijah. We are the offering of William Branham. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. So we find that the seven church ages, there was deception, there was the defilement in the church. But at the end time, that defilement is removed and God comes down as the capstone, as the headstone. So the seven church ages was feminine, but the seals was the masculine coming back to bring an invisible union. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? So we see men and women who tries to fill that place, that vacuum, with substitute sexual reality, knowledge, power, money, it always ends up being more broken than before. That vacuum cannot be filled by knowledge. It cannot be filled by power, by knowledge, by money, by sexuality. It's got to be filled only by God. Can we say praise the Lord? The moment we see God's purpose and realize why we were created and who we are and what our roles are, what is my husband's needs and what is the man's need and what is the woman's needs, how I can make it easy for him, what a wonderful bond marriage is. Amen. Marriage is the strongest bond on the earth. Because what God joins together, no man can put asunder. Amen. Amen. Not what the magistrate can put together. Not what some backslidden preacher can put together, but what God puts together, no man can put asunder. All real marriages begins in heaven. It only reflects back on the earth. Amen. Then we can see what a wonderful joy it is to be a woman. There is no inferior position in God's economy. Can we say praise the Lord? She is not inferior to the man. You are a part of him. Amen. Maybe just to repeat myself again, when God brought the woman to the man, God was literally bringing Adam back to Adam in the form of a woman. God was bringing, that's what the Bible says, that he might present himself to himself. What is he going to do? He's going to present himself to himself, a glorious church. And Paul says, I desire that I may present Christ a beloved bride. But Paul could not do the presentation work because the church was deceived. But Paul's ministry was a prophecy of the end time. Amen. And what Paul prophesied, God fulfilled right in the end time. This end time Elijah came to introduce Christ, a beloved bride. Amen. That's why when Daniel wrote the book, it says, seal up the book. Daniel wrote in mystery form. Jesus, when he spoke, the Bible says, without a parable, spake he not unto the people. Paul spoke in mystery form. John wrote, seal it up. But at the end time, all mysteries, all parables, everything is revealed. This Bible has become an end time book. Because the two has become one. Can we say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. There's no inferior position. What a great privilege to understand. What a helpmeet is. It should give every woman a desire to submit to her husband and to draw from his love in order to enjoy the fullness of God's purpose and God's plan. Submission is not slavery. Submission is freedom. Submission is rest. Amen. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve was co-equal. Amen. Satan offered her something that she already had. He said to her, if you can take my revelation, you will be like God. What was he offering her? He was offering her supremacy. Women's liberation don't want equality. They want supremacy. Amen. Lucifer was equal with God, Brother Branham says. He was equal, but he could not create. He wasn't happy with equality. He wants supremacy. And he said, I want to be above God. And God says, I'm going to bring you down. The woman was equal with Adam. She was said co-equal. And Satan offered her supremacy. And God says, I'm going to bring you down. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. That's why we thank God today. Lucifer was equal, but he could not create. Adam was equal. He could create, but he did not create. Jesus was God. He was equal. He could create, but he did not create. He turned the water into wine. He did things. But at the end time, was a sex-born man, came to the same equality, and he could create. Can we say praise the Lord? I want to read a quote from Brother Branham. We would see Jesus. Just like, why does a woman, every time she gets married, put a veil over her face? She's coming to her husband, the head, just like Rebecca did. She put a veil over her face to meet Isaac. She had no more head. Isaac's her head. And the church ought to be so submissive to the word of God that it veils its own face. It has no head. Brother Branham says, we've got no thinking coming. Christ is our head. This message of the hour is your mate, your husband. Amen. The day of human leadership is over. William Branham was the last one man scripture. Amen. He was the husband of the age. Amen. Christ is the angel of all angels. The end time prophet was the angel of the age. The pastor is the angel behind the pulpit. And the husband is the angel in his home. Can we say praise the Lord? And the church ought to be submissive to the word of God, that it veils its own face. It has no head. It's the nature of the woman to submit to the man. That's what the church ought to be doing, submitting to the word and to his word, to his doctrine, to his principles. She's got no thought of herself. She has no head. Christ is the head, not some ecclesiastical bunch. Christ is the head. The message of the hour is your husband. Christ is the revealed word of the hour. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. At the end time, man will live with man. And spiritually, if another man tries to rape you, send you his videos or his tapes and gives you money and try to be under him, he's a homosexual. Is man trying to rape another man? But those days is over. Christ has taken full headship and has smashed every other headship. Can we say praise the Lord? When a man recognizes what his role is towards his wife, he should have no problem to love and protect her, to guide and to provide and to lead her. because she's connected with him. True feminine has been distorted and mistaken by lust and beauty. True femininity is that quality in the woman which has the power to draw from her husband, like Adam exclaimed, "You are bone of my bone and you are flesh of my flesh." Amen. It's to find the master key how to submit and draw from him all the blessings that is in that man. Can we say praise the Lord? Christ loved us before we even loved him. But we have got to humble ourselves before him to pull all the love that's in him and be transferred back unto us. Can we say praise the Lord? Brother Branham says, "I love my wife so much I could pull her right through me." He says, "Multiply that by so many times that will only reveal to you a speck of God's love." Amen. Because love is the strongest force. Brother Branham says, "People who go around always feeling hurt and always hurting others have never experienced God's love." Amen. As the bride of Christ, we understand God's love. We will submit to his will and to his word, and automatically all things will be added unto us. But we got to bow down before that love. There is nothing so powerful in the entire universe as a healthy, sound marriage, because it is the strongest bond. Women should not forget that you were made, that they were made, they were born to be man's glory. Because the woman is the glory of the man. Not only is she the glory of the man, but she is the complement of the man. She's the revelation of the man. She's the expression of the man. And God has raised her up to be that glory. Amen. To meet his needs, to bear his children, and to be his queen. I want to say tonight, wear your crown with pride and dignity. Amen. That's why we thank God for our sisters. Amen. Because they are no more just an object, but they're an extension of the man. Can we say praise the Lord? Adam was an extension of Eve. They say a woman is a byproduct. They said that's why she loves to buy products. We see God made the earth a perfect environment for man to live in. We see the woman was the hidden mystery in the man. God drew her out of Adam, leaving a vacuum which only the flesh covered up. So there was a vacuum in Adam. That's the reason why there is a longing in the man's heart to have back what was taken from him, because it belongs to him. Amen. Amen. She was taken from him and she's got to go back to where she belongs. Amen. When the Bible commands a man to love his wife as his own body, it does not ask something impossible. It should be a very natural thing for him to love her. The person on the inside, the real person. Many people, when they get married, they only get married to the body. But there's another person on the inside. Amen. It's not the body parts of the woman, but it's the person on the inside. Can we say praise the Lord? There's somebody, something deeper on the inside. And that's the real person that you marry. Amen. It should be even more natural for her to submit, because she returned to the place where she originally was taken from. Amen. When the Bible speaks about wives submitting husband's love, it is a command, not an option. It's a command by God. There's no option in it. The more the man loves, the more we'll make it easy for her to submit. Because she needs that love. Amen. And love to the woman is not sexual expression. The woman interprets love in a different way. Love to her is words. Hugs, flowers, gifts, caring. That's love to her. Amen. When you met your wife, she was your girlfriend. You spoke to her, you won her by words. You spoke to her from the morning till the evening. You bought her flowers, you bought her chocolates. You visit her Wednesday night, Saturday night. When you go home, you phone back again another hour, 2 hours. You were on the phone all the time. In her mind, this is going to be marriage all her life. The moment you get married, the man don't talk anymore. There's no more flowers coming. There's no more chocolates coming. There is no more looking in the eyes going. And temperaments comes in. But Brother Branham said, we should never let the honeymoon feeling cease. Amen. Amen. They say in marriage, before marriage, both talks. After marriage, the woman still talks, the man keeps quiet. Amen. It is time, it is at times difficult for a woman to slot into a place because of traits and temperaments. You have your genetic temperament. You're either a melancholy or a sanguine or a choleric or a phlegmatic, whatever. But you've got traits with you. And so when you get married, all those traits comes up. Maybe you are slow. Your husband is very fast. Or the husband is a sparky and the woman is very introvert. So each one tried to reconstruct one another, but you cannot reconstruct nobody. God has made you exactly what God has made you. And you cannot reconstruct your wife to be like you, and she cannot reconstruct you to be like her. She can only be blessed in what God has designed her to be. Amen. It is at times difficult for a woman to slot into a place because of traits and temperaments and influences. But the Holy Spirit will come into your temperament, Brother Branham says, and transform it. So the Holy Ghost comes into your temperament and transforms it. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. Man will never find fulfillment unless he loves the part that was taken from him. Man will never find fulfillment unless he loves the part that was taken from him. And woman will never find rest until they find the key to submit. Amen. They say 80% of homosexuality is of roles that has been crossed. The mother was a mother superior, dictator, an iron disposition, and the father took a role of a woman. And children are raised up and seeing wrong images. Amen. But that's why those roles must not be crossed. Each role is unique and each role is needed. But the moment the roles are crossed, it presents wrong images for the children. Amen. And the girl sees mother as an iron disposition. And he sees the father as the female disposition. And it influences their lives. Amen. And that's why we've got to find our position. Amen. When a woman realizes that God designed her a woman for a specific purpose, her first desire should be to fall in love with her role. Amen. Fall in love with what God has made you. Because there's no inferior position. And to do everything within her power through prayer to fulfill that role to be fulfilled. Because what you need is in your husband. And what he needs is in you. The love that has been transferred, the love that's in the man, is the fuel, the energy that the woman lives by. She needs that love. For her to make it easy for her to submit to you. That's why Brother Branham says, pastor, make it easy for your church. And church, make it easy for your pastor. Can we say praise the Lord? It doesn't matter how good a woman appears to be, how gifted she is, how spiritual she appears to be. If she does not submit, God will not qualify her to enjoy the full blessings. Amen. Submission is not a servant girl mentality. Submission is your freedom under that man. Can we say praise the Lord? There cannot be a ship without a captain. There cannot be an office, a company without a manager. There cannot be a church without a pastor. And there cannot be a home without a head. Amen. Submission should be looked upon as the master key that opens the door to happiness and fulfillment. Marriage would be a wonderful institution, but you got to find the key. Women should look upon submission as being a privilege. As the prophet says, give me a church that's humble, submitted to God. That's a church who's got power and favor with God. Amen. That's humility, bowing down before God. Satan has distorted this wonderful truth. Woman has come to believe that submission has been a slavery instead of a freedom. And today we see it's a woman's world. That's why democracy is feminine. It is the people ruling the government. In our country, we had to call the apartheid system. It was the government ruling the people. But now we have moved over to democracy. It's now the people ruling the government. God hates both those systems. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? Satan has come to distort that. Proverbs 12:4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh a shame is rottenness in his bones. Thank God for good wives. And thank God for good husbands. Amen. A woman is the most beautiful gift of God to man besides salvation. But a dominating female is the greatest curse in this world. Amen. The prophet says in Church Ages, page 215, now a woman is not meant to have an iron disposition. I call them mother superiors. She's according to the Holy Scripture to be submissive to the male. That is that's commanded of her. Woman who is truly female, all female, will be of that disposition. Not a doormat. No real male makes a female a doormat. Amen. But she will want to be under authority and not rule over the male, for he is the head of the house. If she breaks that image God has made for her, she is perverted. Any male that lets the woman take authority has also broken that image, and he is perverted. Thank God for godly men and women that can rise up to the occasion and take their roles. Can we say praise the Lord? Choosing of a Bride, page 22. Do you know that the fall came by the woman at the beginning? The end is going to wind up the same way. Women are coming into authority and ruling over men and so forth. Do you know the scriptures say that? And notice it not, page 8. In Tucson, Arizona, we got a woman judge there in the city. That's the reason the city is so polluted. The woman hasn't got any business in politics. She's got no business over any authority in the church. Her place is a man's queen at home. Amen. Outside of that, she has nothing. Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? There are many times a man needs which a woman can supply. The main one is making him feel that he's worthy being your husband. When last have you told your husband, thank you for marrying me, or thank you for being what you are, or thank you that you provided for us all these years, or thank you that you have led us all this way? A man needs admiration. A man needs appreciation. Amen. That's the need of the man. He's got needs to know that he's worth in the family. And if you're not going to appreciate him, somebody else is going to appreciate him. Amen. When a man goes to work every day, he's literally going to hell. And when he comes home, there's somebody waiting for him that can take every spirit away from him. Nobody can do it. Not your mother can do it. You're the only one that's supposed to roam in his kingdom. Can we say praise the Lord? You make him feel worthy of being a man, to make him feel that no other man could really take his place. Say, honey, I thank you for marrying me. Thank you for the children that you've given me. Thank you for the home that you've built. Thank you that you have provided all these years. Thank you. And it's important to say thank you. Because Jesus said, I healed 10 lepers and only one came back to say thank you. Jesus even honored a thank you. Amen. No other man could really take his place. Never. A woman should never belittle her husband before the children and before company. Amen. He is your king. He is your Lord. He is your redeemer. A woman should never try to break down that image before the children, because he's the pastor of the home. Any fights that they have or any conflict management should be handled in the private of the room. Yes, amen. Because the kids grow up with wrong images. Mom has got no respect for dad. And that's why there must be a revelation dropped down to know that he's king of the home. Yes, he's going to answer for you and not you for him. Amen. When a woman marries, she only knows her husband in a very small way. During the course of marriage, she will discover his kingdom, his moods, his traits, his likes, his dislikes, and will come to the knowledge of his needs. You've got to know your husband. You've got to know when he wants to talk and when he doesn't want to talk. You've got to know his traits, his moods. Maybe he's strong. Maybe he's from a German origin, or maybe he's from an Irish origin, or maybe he's from some trait. And you've got to know who he is. You've got to know when he's moody. You've got to know what to do to make him happy. How to enter his kingdom. How to roam in his kingdom. How to be able to move into him and to be able to remove those spirits from him. Amen. We will continue on as we go along. Amen. With the act of marriage, we make a commitment to one another before God and before witnesses. Being a good housewife, a cook, that's wonderful. A woman can do all those things and still not be one flesh. Amen. Those things is wonderful. But this is more than cooking or ironing. This is entering and harmonizing with his spirit and becoming one. A man can live in his home, he can have all the refineries of life, and he can have wonderful children, and he can still be lonely in his own home. Same like a local pastor. He might have 500 people, and he might be, and people say, well, you know, he's got a lot of people around him. He must be the most happiest man, and he might be, he's got lots of friends, but he can be a lonely man. It's a lonely road to be a minister even. And that's why we find that the woman has got to find the art, the key to submit, to enter that kingdom, and to draw from him all the blessing that she needs. Amen. The same with the man. He can buy a home. He can give her all the material needs and still not be one with her. Amen. A man can make love to a woman's body, but he doesn't love the person on the inside. It's more than the body. It is the person on the inside that you love. The person that is on the inside, that's the real person. The body is only the outside casing, but it's the real one on the inside. Amen. And still not be one with her. It's beyond material needs. It's loving the person right on the inside. If a man loves his wife as his own flesh, He will make it easy for her to submit to give him headship. That's why love is the fuel, the energy the woman needs to make it easy for her to submit. And Christ has made it easy for us. He loved us before we loved him. He even came down in this end time to prove his love as the token. He made it easy for us to submit to his word. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. So it is with a woman who loves her husband, she will discover his kingdom and thereby find total fulfillment. She has the privilege to supply the need, discovering his territory, which belong only to her alone. She is privileged to roam in his kingdom, in his life, to find out what his needs are in order for her to be fulfilled. You can only be blessed when you bless others. You can only be happy when you make somebody else happy. Your needs can only be supplied when you supply the needs of your partner. Can we say praise the Lord? Many times they would ask you questions. Who begins first? Should the man love first and the woman subject first? I said the one who gets the revelation first. Amen. A husband should have total confidence in his wife. He should have the assurance that even if everything in the world crumbles, including the children, his wife will always be there to support him. You did not marry your children, you married your wife. She is not a housewife, she is your wife. Your wife never married the house, she married you. She belongs to you. She can be all around the home. She can be busy with the children, busy with the house, busy with this. And you can be sitting in your own home like Jesus with dirty feet, unentertained and unwelcome. Amen. Amen. That's why she's your wife, not the housewife. A married woman cannot drink from another man's fountain. A married woman cannot drink from another man's fountain. No woman can totally give herself to a husband if she does not learn to submit to him in every way. That's what the Bible said. Let the older woman teach the younger woman how to love their husbands. There's a teaching, there's a knowledge of how to do it. It's got nothing to do with sexual expression. It's got to do the key of how to enter the kingdom of that man and how to make him happy. Amen. The man is more vulnerable than the woman. Amen. It is very seldom that a woman would leave a man, but it's always the man leaving the woman. And there is always a woman, man always go after another woman. Because man is more vulnerable on the outside. The temptation of the male is different from the temptation of the woman. Sexual desires crosses the man's mind almost every day, not the woman's mind. And that's why he needs her more than she needs him. He might be a truck driver. He might drive an airplane. He might drive a bus. He might be a mechanic. He might be a strong man. And yet, he needs you more than you need him. And you might think in your mind, well, this man doesn't need me. It's his money. It's his home. He's so strong. He doesn't even need me. But he needs you more than you need him. Amen. He might be 6 foot six, but there's something in him that he needs you to enter in. Can we say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. That's why it's important for a man to rule by love, to make it easy for her to give him headship. The rulership must not be by fear, because fear is a revelation of Satan. But it's got to be by divine love. He can give a 10 commandments, but if the 10 is not governed by the 11th, it will destroy. Amen. Amen. Once a woman has discovered how to enter the kingdom of her husband, she will draw from him and he will shower his love upon her, which is the very fuel she needs in order to supply his needs. Maybe a man goes to work in the morning and he will just say some negative word. You know, you should lose some weight or maybe something negative to her. You're just like your mother, or, you know. Or stop being so slow or something negative. She will sigh the whole day. She's hurt because a woman lives by words. She's tender. He will go to work, he'll forget about it. He'll phone 10 o'clock, how are you? He talks, she's still hurt. He comes back home tonight, she's still hurt. Because a woman lives by words. Amen. And the man is the one who is clumsy.
Amen.
Once a woman has discovered how to enter the kingdom of her husband, she will draw from him and he will shower his love upon her. Cooking, washing, ironing, looking after the children, all these chores, which often seem to be so boring and worthless, will become a pride and her joy. Amen. Without love, a woman has got no life. Amen. She needs that love. And without God's love, we've got no life. A woman needs to know that it does not matter how clever or capable or gifted or spiritual she might be, but at all times recognize him as a head. Whether she's got a BSc degree, whether she's got a doctorate, or whatever she might be, she must always recognize that he is head. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. When this is manifested in a couple, there is no more competition. Because competition brings strain, bitterness, hatred, and destroys fellowship. Amen. God is not in the competition business. You're not going to go to heaven because you've got 80% or 90%. You're going to make it because of his election plan for you. Amen. It brings strain. It destroys. Ephesians chapter 6 says, put on the whole armor of God. With the shield of faith, we will only be shielded if we obey the word. You cannot fight the devil if you are still fighting one another. And that's why the woman is a tender rose and a flower. You cannot make her fast if she's slow. You cannot make her smile if she's introvert. You cannot try to reconstruct her the way you want her to be. Or you want your wife to be like your mother or your grandmother. She is a person all in her own. And you have to learn to respect her. Not only as your wife, but as your love part. Not only as your wife, but as your queen and as a daughter of Almighty God. Amen. Amen. Paul in Ephesians brings out two headships, Christ and the man. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, so ought husbands to love their wives. Paul speaks about sacrificial love, a love that would be willing to even die for her. Paul is not talking about filial love. He talks about sacrificial love. That you love her so much that you were even prepared to die for her. What a love. Amen. Often we hear said, perhaps we need another child. Maybe we will feel more closer to one another. But a child cannot bound your marriage. A child must come into the marriage already being bound together. Amen. Amen. You never married your children. They come out of the marriage. Amen. They were going to leave you one day. But your wife is still going to be with you. And new children coming in the family doesn't bring the bond. It is the marriage already being bound together. Can we say praise the Lord? Children are a result of a union, a result of them already feeling bound to one another. A child can only become part of the bond of his parents, but will never be able to be the bond. What God has joined together, no man can put asunder. There is no separation in that union. Amen. That's why Romans chapter 5 is our justification. Romans chapter 6 is our sanctification. Romans chapter 7 is the invisible union. Romans chapter 8 says there's no condemnation. Amen. What God has joined together, no man can put asunder. Amen. Can tribulation, can death, can sword, can peril, nothing can separate. A union has taken place. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? Adam could not deny Eve. She was a part of him. She was him in bright form. Denying her is denying himself. Paul writes, he says, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. God cannot deny you, and you cannot deny your wife because she's part of you. Amen. Christ is the life giver. The bride is the carrier of this life. He first requires us to submit to his will when we recognize him, the revealed word, as our only husband. And this is the hour of this great invisible union. Amen. That's why it's an extreme importance that a man must take the role as husband, leader, provider, and lover. And the wife must take the role as wife, friend, queen, according to God's law, in spite of their strength and their weaknesses. It is to find that role. Because the power is not in your gift. The power is in your position. Amen. Your position is your power. Abram was in the right place. Abram was in the promised land. When he was in the right position, he could slaughter five kings. When Abram left his position, he feared. So your position is your freedom, your power, and your authority. Can we say praise the Lord? A man feels a strong drive to have dominion over his home, his wife, and he longs to be king. But he cannot be king unless the wife makes him king. He cannot have any headship unless she gives him headship. She longs to be queen, but have lost the divine authority how to rule and how to reign. Amen. What she needs is all locked up in him, and what he needs is all locked up in her. Amen. We'll just continue on. In Genesis, God placed Adam and the woman under a co-equal covenant. When the fall came, he made another covenant. The woman's covenant is, shall rule over thee. Rulership is not by fear, but rulership is by love. She had an equality, but Satan offered her a supremacy. But thank God, there is a placing of the woman back in the end time. There's an adoption of the church. The church is finding her position. And when position comes, all inequalities disappear. Women are not born with a desire to go and discover a universe and dominate it. It's against the nature to do such a thing. She has never discovered new continents. If she ever went to such journeys, it was to accompany her husband that she loves. She went as a helpmeet and as a companion. A woman can endure sorrow, pain, and sacrifice in a much deeper way than a man. When a man gets a cold or the flu, he's off 3 days. Woman gets a flu, 1 day, honey, you are better. Jesus made you well. She can endure pain and sorrow and sacrifice in a much deeper way than a man. That's why a woman outlives a man. Because she was indeed created with a need to give herself. And Brother Branham calls her the fifth gospel. He says before the four gospels get the child, the mother gets the child. Amen. Look at Florence Nightingale. She loved, she sacrificed. A woman can outlive a man. She is the weaker vessel, yet the strength is revealed through weakness. She's the weaker vessel. But perfect strength is revealed through perfect weakness. Amen. God has got no victory outside of us. We are his victory. Calvary would be in vain outside of us. Brother Manham says, we are the blood by spirit. We are the very reason for his death. Perfect weakness, but yet God's strength is revealed through her. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. When a husband and wife reigns outside the rules of the kingdom of God, we're going to suffer consequences. You've got to come back into that position. We are meant to be royal by divine nature. The word of God made power, made flesh, is the kingdom. Amen. Redemption can only come to us when the word is made flesh. In the beginning was the word that was wonderful. The word was with God that was wonderful. The word was God, but it never meant nothing to me and you. But when the word became flesh, that was redemption. Unless this message of the hour becomes flesh, it means nothing. Amen. That's why Brother Manham said, there's many women in this church, but only one woman that goes home with me. And that's my wife. Your revelation is your wife. Your revelation has got to go home with you. Amen. It cannot remain on Sunset Mountain. It can't remain on Sabino Canyon. It can't remain on tapes and pictures and books and computers. It's got to become flesh. It's got to come home. It cannot be just cliches and cliches and little thoughts behind the pulpit. It's got to become flesh. The union between Christ and the church has got to reflect in your home life. Amen. The dove must settle in your home. An atmosphere of divine love. Amen. The third pool manifestation is not going to be a platform demonstration. She's going to go home, brother, sister. It's not going to be one man standing behind the pulpit and pulling some rabbits out of the hat. Platform demonstrations is over. God is dealing with the church in a many-membered body, and that revelation has got to go home with you. You can't be fussing and fuming and grudging and talk about the rapture. Amen. You've got to bring that lick of fire from home. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. What a difference there is between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of self and pride, rebellion, and arrogance. But God reigns with love, compassion, and humility. Give me a church that's humble, Brother Branham says. Give me a church that's surrendered, submitted to God, and I will show you a church that's got favor and power with God. It's greater than a man running all over the building. A man who has found favor and submitted to God. Give me a woman that submitted to her husband, and I will tell you a woman that's found favor with God. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. We will never be able to mean much to others if we don't first allow God to control our life. To let the word of preeminence that is only rest in Christ never take your eyes off Christ. As the brother Eugene said, never take your eyes off the trainer. Never take your eyes off Christ. Never take your eyes off your husband, because he is your redeemer, he is your Lord, he is your Savior. He's the Savior of your body. Amen. If your husband did not choose you or marry you, you would have been living with somebody else. But he chose you, and when he chose you, he redeemed back what belongs to him. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? The moment Mary said, "Let it be according to thy word," she accepted the word. She did not even have to struggle to change Joseph's mind. She was engaged to Joseph, but the moment she took God at his word, God came to sort out Joseph. Accept him at his word. God will sort out all your ifs, your buts, and all the consequences afterwards. God will sort all those out. God sorted him out through a dream. That's why I'm saying, believe the word concerning your position and concerning your role. God will sort out all your fears, your worries, your frustrations, your anxieties. Jesus said, look at the birds, the lilies, I care for them. You are more than these. The more you enter, the more you enter, the more you humble yourself. That is power. God made man to be an achiever, a protector, a provider, a high priest, an intercessor. His body carries the seed of life and is responsible for the children being born to guide and to direct them. God made a woman to be the keeper of the home, to make a haven within its walls, a retreat from the stress, a nourisher to the children. What a position that a woman has. Her body is fashioned for being a wife, a mother. Have you ever wondered what caused Pharaoh's daughter to adopt Moses? She was a woman, she desired to mother. Amen. The Bible says she saw the child and behold, a babe wept and she had compassion on him. The weeping of little Moses overcome all the training she received because she was a mother. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul says the two will become one flesh. The two becomes one, there is peace. But if one becomes two, it's warfare. But the two has got to become one. Amen. Colossians 3:8 says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Titus says, let the older woman teach the younger woman. 1 Peter 3, likewise, you wives, be subjection to your own husbands, in that if any obey not the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. There is an obedience and there is a subjection from the woman. When a woman takes God at his word and submits to a husband without reservation, fears and loves God, then God takes upon himself the responsibility to see that that he does not put a command upon her contrary to his will. Amen. God will protect and guide that. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. Aren't you happy tonight, brother, sister? Amen. What a great role a woman has. She can bring out. Sarah called Abram Lord even when talking to herself. She was talking to herself saying, I am wax old. Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? She wasn't using the term Lord sarcastically. She meant even in her thought, he was Lord. And your husband is Lord. Even when Abram told the king, she is my sister, she never rebelled. God was under obligation to protect her. She never said, he's telling a lie. But God was obligated to protect her. Can we say praise the Lord? Look at Michelle, David's wife, Saul's daughter, despising her husband David when he danced, seeing the word of the ark returning back. God, in return, because she despised and she was disrespectful towards her husband, God closed the womb. Amen. She died having no children. It is important to see God's purpose in obedience. It takes God for a woman to love and obey a man day after day, year after year. It takes character. Can we say praise the Lord? I believe the two most important things is when a man goes home, a man goes to work in the morning, he's got to be sent away with a blessing. And he's got to be received back also with a blessing. Amen. The woman has got a power inside of her to take all the tiredness out of a man. She's got a power inside of her to take every spirit under her control for God's glory. It's all locked up in the woman. Amen. Amen. Let me read you a quote in the Message, Corinthians, the book of correction. Brother Branham says, this morning I was talking, I thought, now in closing I thought, what is any sweeter than in a man's life than to come home when he's tired and weary with his little bucket in his hand and working all day and plowing whatever he might be, to walk and to have a lovely wife to meet him at the door. Amen. He's got to be welcome because he had just come from hell. He has come from cursing and swearing. He has come from a dimension. Brother Bannon was walking in JCPenney stores. He says, I was back in hell again. It's a dimension, brother, sister. And that man has come home. He is coming back with so many spirits. There's women in the office. There's people that's cursing, they're swearing. His spirit is defiled. But if he comes home, there's a woman waiting for him to take every spirit under her control for God's glory. Amen. Walk home to a lovely wife to meet him at the door, sit down in his lap a minute and brush his brow a little bit and kiss him on the cheek and put her arms around him and say, "Dear, I know you are tired. You work so hard. Give him consolation." Amen. That's a power. What is she doing? She's under authority, but she's in authority. She takes every spirit under her control for God's glory. Supper's ready. The kids are clean. Everything is under control. The king comes home. His bath is run. Maybe a bucket of water to wash his feet. His coffee's ready. Welcome him back. All the tiredness is out of him. What are you doing? You're cleaning up his sanctuary. Amen. The body's the outer court. The spirit is the sanctuary, the inner court. The soul is the most holies of holies. And for him to go into his study and to pray to God, his sanctuary must be cleaned. And God has raised you up to clean that sanctuary. But if he comes home with the woman complaining and nagging and wearing slippers and rollers in her hair, what a welcome. Many sisters, they buy new dresses only for weddings and parties. That new dress shouldn't be for the wedding or the party. It should be for your husband. Many times women buy the best crockery and they only use it when visitors come. The husband gets an old cup, an old mug, and the visitor gets all the refineries. But he's king of your life. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? And many women, but not knowing, by complaining, can literally drive their husband in the arms of another woman. You're the one that can keep him and protect him. He needs you more than you need him. Can we say praise the Lord? Now the quote in the message called "Hearing Him." The world's looking for something today. When your little wife told you she'd be your sweetheart and your wife, she was looking for somebody to love her. And when you promised your husband, he was looking for somebody when he come in tired and weary from work all day, some little wife to put her arms around him and kindly brush his hair back and tell him how much she loved him. That's what causes separations in the families. It's a neglect of love. If you don't compliment your husband, some other woman is going to compliment him. And that's also for preachers' wives. If you don't compliment your husband, say, "Honey, I enjoyed your message. I've taken some notes." Some sister will compliment him. And some woman will phone him and he will desire to talk with the woman again because she is the one who compliments him. Amen. An affinity grows with that woman because she's the only one that compliments him. Amen. Because when he comes home, it is just more money for groceries. The children is rude. This has happened. You must beat the kids. There's always nags. But God has placed you in a unique position to take everything under your control for God's glory. Brother Branham, he took a role under Christ. He took it, when Brother Branham came on the platform, he took a feminine role. He says, "Lord, I'm as helpless as helpless can be." He took on the role as a woman, as a feminine. But he says, "He's here now. Now I take every spirit under my control for God's glory." He was under authority. He was in authority. Amen. William means protector. Marion is a short term for Mary. Branham, H-A-M, is a part of God's name. Father, son, bride was reflected to this end time prophet. He was under authority, but he took everything under his control for the glory of God. And a woman is under, and yet she's in authority. She's queen of the home. Can we say praise the Lord? Quoting questions and answers, Hebrews part 3. Brother Branham says, listen to you, my dear sisters. I want you to look the best and be your best. Wear the best clothes in the home. Your husband must, when he comes home, he must be able to look at you with the best robe on, the best dressed on. He's at the office. He sees beautiful girls, beautiful women all the time. He comes home. The wife says, rollers on, slippers on, overalls on. He needs you more than you need him. Look at my dear, sir, I want you to be your best and be your best. That's what you ought to be. That's what you ought to be. You ought to be as sweet and fresh, everything as you can, when your husband comes home. Brother Branham nails 6-7 times, when the husband comes home. Just the same as she was your sweetheart, and you ought to meet him at the door with just a kiss as sweet to him as it was the day you kissed him at the altar to be your husband. Amen. That's every night. To meet him at the door and to embrace him and to kiss him with the same kiss. Amen. The kiss you gave him at the altar when they took the veil off, you may now kiss your bride. That was a special kiss. You're going to kiss him with that same kiss. Amen. That's right. I don't blame you looking your best and being your best. I want you to be that way. God knows I do. Brother Branham goes further on in the second coming of the Lord. Could you imagine coming home at nighttime, weary, worn? If you're a farmer, mechanic, a preacher, whatever you are, come in. When you go into your little home, you're longing till you can get there. You open the door and sweet little wife stands there. She greets you. She's all prettied up and cleaned up. She walks over and kisses you on the cheek and says, Dad, you are tired. She sets you down in the chair. She sets herself down in your lap. She puts her arms around you and she pats you on. It seems like you're not tired anymore. Nobody can take that tiredness out but the woman. Can we say praise the Lord? And what a wonderful position to be a woman. You can either break him or you can make him. You can let hell come out of him or heaven come out of him. It's all in your hands. But I say tonight, what a privilege it is to be a woman. The same like the church. If a church respects its pastor, which is the husband of the church, they can operate the gift. They can bring out of him sermons and messages. They can bring out of him so many food for their souls if they respect him and submit under that leadership. You don't have to go to another church and look for somebody. Start respecting your own pastor, your own husband. And inside of him is so many messages, so many things that you need. But you got to pull it out of him by submitting under that order. Can we say praise the Lord? Aren't you happy tonight, brother, sister? There is a royal robe of submission. Now I'm going to say tonight, sisters, wear your robe with pride and dignity. You are not inferior to the male. God has placed you in a very special position. Amen. May God bless you tonight. I will continue on tomorrow night again. I will stop and then I will go on with the needs of the woman. And I trust that God will richly bless you. And I trust that God will richly meet your life. And God has done something in my marriage. And I know God can do it for you as well. Amen. I know preachers are lonely people. A preacher is the only one who hasn't got a pastor. Who does he go to? Who does he speak to? And that's why I have a lot of compassion for pastors, to know that we need one another more than ever before. But I do believe that the message of the hour has got to become flesh. Amen. It's got to move away from the quotes, the books. It's got to become you. The living tabernacle in the living God's dwelling place. May God bless you. May God be with you. Can we all stand? Can we sing, I love him, I love him, because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree, while they hand the service over to Brother Jeff. I love him. I love him because he first loved me. I wonder if we can just close our eyes and raise our hands and just worship the Lord. I love him. I love him because he first loves me and purchased my salvation. Calvary Street. Let's sing it one more time. I love him because he first loved me.
gonna pass away. But there's something well about that name, kings and kingdoms.
You may be seated for just a moment. Once again, I was just so blessed by the word of life. Amen. How many of you that have been married 25 years or 30 would have liked to have heard this 25 or 30 years ago? And be able to raise your kids under that sort of secure love. See, when children see mom and dad hugging and loving and laughing with one another, that is a secure home. But when they see a house divided, what happens to that house, the scripture says? It'll crumble, it'll fall. A house divided cannot stand. It's divided against itself. But when that home is one unit, and there's just a natural flow and ebb, just a natural flow and ebb, a natural receiving. It's not 50-50, it's not a contract, it's a covenant. So it's not, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this for you. It doesn't even enter into your picture. It's both of you giving 100%, whether the other person reciprocates or not. Whether they reciprocate or not, you give 100%. When's the last time, sister, since you got married, you sat on your husband's lap? You can get a bigger chair. They make bigger chairs. Amen. You've grown, he's grown, but, you know, comes home from work. I mean, I was sitting there, I was thinking, while he was saying that, I thought, well, let's all laugh all at once. But it shouldn't be that way. We should all be able to enjoy one another, our husbands and our wives, just like that. And I like what he said. Just like that first kiss when you lifted that veil, let it be that same sweet kiss 25, 30 years. You know, when I lived in Tucson, I remember there was two things that spoke to me the most. Mental images. One was when I was 16 years old, and I walked through the doors for the first time at Tucson Tabernacle, and I was an unsaved person. And I saw all the girls with long, beautiful hair and dresses. And all the boys with short hair. And the boys looked like boys. And the girls looked like girls. And that spoke to me. That spoke to me. The other image that I remember so vividly is a couple. I wish I could remember their name. And maybe those of you from Tucson way back when can remember this couple. Every service, they came a half hour early. They walked up hand in hand to the altar, and they both prayed together. They knelt at the altar. Does anybody remember the name of that couple? I don't remember. Do you remember seeing that same mental image? They would go hand in hand, both of them just old. I mean, he's just walking, just going up there, and she's got a hold of his arm, and they arthritic legs, they're going down, and they come back up, and they'd done it as long as I was there, they were doing it. And just that image never left me. Because it was such a solid image of a husband and wife praying together. You know, we don't want to, let's not put on our message mask, our church mask, you know, and come to church and worship and praise God. But at home, we're both lonely. That's good. Husband's lonely. The wife's lonely. Amen. Lord Jesus, help us, and I believe he has tonight, amen, to feed one another's needs. Amen. So many good points. Yes, sir. Yeah. How many remember those long night phone calls? You remember from your hubby? Now, Debbie and I, we were separated from your boyfriend. Debbie and I were separated. She lived in Oregon. We got engaged. She lived in Oregon for 6 more months. Brother Cobb, my father-in-law, I asked if I could have her hand. I called him up one evening, and I asked if I could have her hand in marriage. And he said, yes, you can. And I said, well, we'd like to get married on such and such a date. He says, no, you can't. I said, well, you know, why isn't that good? Well, I want her to finish her college. Well, we looked into it. She could finish college here. No, you can't. So she had to finish her college in Oregon, which now was, of course, it was Wisdom. But that meant for 6 months, we had to make phone calls. Brother Tom Brown, he got my phone bill. He was the treasurer of the church. He got my phone bill. He said he wished he would have got stock in the company before I got engaged. But you remember those letters? Remember those letters? Remember those phone calls? When's the last time you sent your wife flowers? Not because it was her birthday. Not because it was her anniversary. Not because she was mad at you. Just to send flowers. It wasn't too long ago, I was emptying out my desk, cleaning my desk up, and I went to the bottom drawer, which I had not opened for months. It's just a kind of a drawer where everything was stuffed. So I went to that drawer and I opened it up, and it was Debbie had saved all my letters, my cards and my letters that I'd sent her during that 6 months. And so it was all my letters that I had sent her, all the letters and cards she had sent me in those 6 months. Well, I opened the first letter, and I wanted to close the door and lock it. I wanted to put my sunglasses on, my trench coat, get my hat down, and use a flashlight to read it. I was blushing. And I had to look to see at the bottom if it was my signature that I wrote that. I wrote that. How quickly we get away from that romance. She just she loves to be wooed. And when didn't Christ woo you?
Yes.
It was a wooing relationship. And he said that the wife has to give him headship. If you have to demand the headship, you've lost respect. Can you imagine a pastor having to polish his badge and say, "I'm the supreme authority of the local church"? Can you imagine the pastor having to pull out his credentials every time he preached? That pastor's on his way out. There should be such a oneness between that pastor and his church. Such a flow and such an ebb, such an automatic trust and respect for one another. So many types and shadows. I'm going to recommend to my assembly, we have counseling, we have premarital counseling. Before I ever marry a couple, I like to counsel with them. I give them a book to read, and Love for a Lifetime, and then we have premarital counseling. But I'm going to put this in our church library, several copies of this series in my church library, and before they get engaged, I'm going to have them listen to this whole series. That's going to be work. That's what they're going to have to do, absolutely mandatory, before they even get engaged. And then I'm going to make them listen to it again a year later. I tell you what, when I'm counseling newlyweds, people that are just newly engaged, when I'm counseling them, I know that 90% of what I'm saying is going in one ear and out the other, because they're saying we are so in love and we won't have those problems. And I wish I could take every one of them a year and a half later and re-counsel them and only say, or better yet, just play the tape back that I spoke to them. And they're going to say, "You said all that?" Because we go into marriage with such unrealistic expectations. Because we fail one another. And we do things, and we can become hardened, and then that house can become divided. So I want to recommend to every pastor that's here tonight, take this series home, put it in your library, and let it be recommended or mandatory reading material for your either newly engaged or pre-engaged couples. It's a good word. Solid word. Amen. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Let's just sing that at him. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. I love you.